Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Yishai Fleischer Show, broadcasting live from our sukkah. That's right, I am inside the sukkah, and I'm joined by who else but Malka Fleischer. Malka, shalom, and welcome to the show, and shalom, and welcome to your sukkah.
My sukkah, Moadim L'Simcha.
Awesome.
You're supposed to say the thing.
Chagim Uzmanim L'Sason.
There's a whole thing. I was just talking to your sister, Yishai, on the phone. And we were laughing about all the different things you're supposed to say between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. First, it's Ketiva V'Chatima Tova, right? You should be written and signed for a good year. Then it's Chag Sameach. Then it's Moadim L'Simcha. And you do not say Moadim L'Simcha.
You missed Gmar Chatima Tova.
Gmar Chatima Tova, right.
Gmar Tov, right?
Or Gmar Tov. Then you're supposed to go to people after the Chag. You're supposed to go Moadim L'Simcha. Like times of happiness.
Not after the Chag, in the intermediary days.
In the Chol HaMoed, during the days between the first day of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret. Go, Moadim L'Simcha, days of happiness. And then you don't go, yeah, you too, Moadim L'Simcha.
No.
No. You go, Chagim Uzmanim L'Sason, holidays and times of, how do you say sason? Like
joyousness. Yeah.
Like, and that's what you're supposed to say.
Gaiety.
Also, you're supposed to say to people now, Pitka Tova.
No, that's only on Hoshana Rabbah.
You don't say it now?
No. Only
now
on
we're not saying anything about anybody's notes.
No. Pitka Tova is have a good note, or you say in Yiddish, good kvittel. Should have a good
kvittel.
Good kvittel.
Should be a good note.
A good note. Pitka Tova. Yeah. That's you have a lot of things to say.
There's a lot of like things you're supposed to say.
A lot of secret handshakes.
Yeah.
Around here in Judea.
Speaking of which, we shook the lulav and esrog, the etrog this morning, and also during the first day. That was really nice.
Do you know those?
We didn't go nuts this year. There have been some years where we bought like a set of lulav and etrog for everybody.
You know that car Citroen
C4? We just have
C4.
One for the family this time.
It's like a Citroen. It's a French car. And it's called like C4. And it's
the
like
Citroen.
Shaped, the Citroen. And then it's like, it's called C4 or Van Gogh sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's shaped like a big etrog. And sometimes it comes in this like
lime yellow.
And it's just a driving etrog. You know, you ever see those cars around here? I love that car.
I don't think you see it much in America.
I want to make a bruch on it. No, you don't see it in America. I don't think you see Citroen at all in America ever.
Yeah,
never.
That's true.
No.
But anyway, here we are. We're in Judea. You may or may not be able to hear like radical winds blowing through the hills of Judea right now.
Right, gale force winds are attacking our.
Right, I don't mean that. I don't mean radical winds as like a metaphor. I mean like it's super windy.
You don't mean like Ilhan Omar.
I mean it's just a lot of wind up in here.
Yeah, there's a lot of wind in our schach. Everybody say that together. If you say this right, you have stepped very far towards coming closer to the Jewish people. Say schach.
Schach.
Schach. If you can say schach, then you have really.
Then you can come to our sukkah.
That's right. You have really. You don't even have to say Moadim L'Simcha Chagim Uzmanim L'Sason. You can just say, how's your schach? Okay, our schach is right now fine, but it is being.
Yisha is the schach police.
I'm the schach master.
I've been like chilling in the sukkah, doing stuff on Twitter, being on my phone, and I look up and Yisha is like with like hawk eyes staring up because of the radical winds.
Yeah.
And just like anything that moves, he's like, tie it down.
Well,
you've been up on a ladder for like 45 minutes today.
I forgot the term, but like there's a term of, it's like harmonic resonance. If a certain wave starts going through, you've seen like bridges. You know, they have many videos on YouTube when bridges collapse and stuff like that. When a certain frequency of waves attacks your thing, at first it may seem mild, but it lends to like a complete destruction. And the
Jewish physicists, feel free to write in.
Right, and I just
talk about the schach,
harmonic resonance,
and the time lapsing amount of wind.
In simple terms,
that need in order for a little flap of schach to turn into total destruction.
Yeah, mayhem, okay? I don't want no radical winds.
Sukkah down.
You know what I mean? So I tie it down with some conservative tyings so that the radical winds won't attack
destroy.
It. That's right.
Wow, it is a metaphor after all.
Yeah. And today is, we're recording this on Wednesday, which is the day in outside of the land of Israel, it is where Orthodox Jews keep a second
still
day.
Still partying.
Yeah, still partying as though it's the first day, the second day. And we are here. But we have chosen due to your mini sniffles.
Yes, I caught a cold, which is practically illegal in today's day and age.
No, it practically doesn't exist.
No, it's like, it's scary. You've been also looking at me with this like, I'm like, we should have written a will.
No.
And I'm just like, well, I really just have a cold.
That is not
I do not have corona.
That is not, I do not see it that way. I want to know if I have to treat you in a certain way. Because I I've been like, how's that coffee smelling?
Yeah, you're like, do you smell? I'm like, yes, you smell bad.
No.
That's how I know.
No.
Just kidding. That didn't happen.
And I don't, we do have, by the way, a neighbor who is now.
Whose daughter tested positive for coronavirus, right. But only because she just had to be tested for some reason. And then they found out.
Right.
We sure do hope that all of you out there listening are feeling healthy and that nobody is very sick with coronavirus or any other thing. And, you know, we make jokes about this stuff. And I know that for some people, it's not funny, but we're trying to keep a lighthearted approach to these things and
some people, but a lot of people are either today here in Israel, we have a fourth spike, a fourth wave. So that's
true.
Yeah. We're in a fourth wave, Malka. It's like full on.
Well,
fourth
how
wave.
Many gale force winds do we need until the whole thing is knocked down?
Well, that's first is that we have a serious fourth wave here. And there's some, you know, a lot of people are being, you know, found to be sick and there's a big spike in people who are hospitalized. So that's one. And two, and I'm surprised you don't know that because you used to be the numbers person.
I mean, excuse me, I do check the news and I'm very interested and I still go to the World Health Organization website just about every day, really, to check the numbers and see what's going on, like particularly in the United States and in Israel. Sometimes I check their numbers for a place that they call Palestine. I don't know, but I check the numbers to see.
What do you mean? What's wrong with Palestine? I've been there. Palestine, Texas, you mean?
Yeah, well.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, that's not what I'm talking about. But I checked to see what's going on in the world vis-a-vis the numbers given to the World Health Organization.
Right.
And I thought that I was on top pretty much of what's going on. And that is why I did not see that it looks like that we have a fourth wave. I mean, it seems like the numbers are, you know, they go a little bit up, a little bit down. It just seems like we're in the middle of like a constant.
I don't think you've
number
read,
of people.
I don't think you've read today's J Post.
Oh no.
Because I got the
Is that where you got the lowdown, the down low?
Yeah, and it was my friend Pinchas who sent it to me. And anyway, it's definitely a spiky feeling. And I also opened up the Yisrael Hayom, and the Yisrael Hayom was talking about how doctors, heads of divisions of corona wards are like, We cannot manage. We do not have enough ECMO machines. We do not have the stuff.
ECMO, those heart and lung machines.
Right, heart and lung, that's right.
We Shalom don't, Yitzarech. None of you should ever need that.
Right, we do not have enough of this, and we are deciding between people.
Horrible.
And so,
I was talking to a science-y person today on the phone, and that person, who will remain nameless, was like, why haven't the politicians gone, whoa, guys, you see this fourth wave? Here's what we got to do. Open a new hospital. Apparently, it's been some very long time in Israel since the last time a hospital was open.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of complaints that go around here about how it's like there's not that many seats at medical schools. There's not that many medical schools and Jewish, nice Jewish boys and girls who want to be doctors. Go to like Italy, go to Hungary, go to the United States, go
Jamaica.
To other places to get medical degrees because there's not enough medical programs. And then even if there were medical programs, there's not enough like medical jobs in Israel, which is interesting because there's like a very developed national healthcare system, which I have to say that my personal experience so far, and I'm Baruch Hashem, a pretty young, pretty healthy person, has been a good experience overall. I would give it a thumbs up.
Right.
Nonetheless, there's, you know, complaints that we need to be doing more.
Yes, I agree with you very much. There's also, as I talked about on the last time I recorded, affirmative action towards Arabs and disaffirmative action towards Jews to get into these places. And so we have a big problem that for some reason our country has decided that we need more Arab doctors and less Jewish doctors. And these, it's just.
Well, just to create what they want to say is fair.
Yes.
Yeah. Fairness.
Bottom line. Yeah. But there's, and that's exactly, you know, we were having a discussion here on Shabbat and you and I had a slight disagreement or a slight
Which
different
was
take.
That?
You said that there's going to be, that it's leading towards, the situation is leading towards some kind of conflict, some kind of war here in Israel, a type of civil war between the, or tension.
I didn't say that.
We were talking about believers versus non-believers.
Oh, somebody said, someone brought up a nice, calm discussion topic at the sukkah table, one of our guests, and they said, what do you think, if there was going to be a civil war, what would be the two sides? Isn't that nice? Isn't that a nice little thought? Think about over Sukkot, Sukkot Shalom, and all that.
Yeah, bring it all together.
Oh, okay. Well, let me chew my brisket, which turned out awesome.
Your brisket was great.
Thanks.
It was.
I made baklava, also my best baklava ever.
OMG, it was amazing.
Yeah, I'll be happy to share that recipe with whoever wants. You email Ishai@ishaifleisher.com.
Yeah, you email me.
You say
me.
You want Malka's recipe for baklava, and yeah, I will hook you up. I also made a really good mocha cake.
That was excellent.
I also tried this thing that I saw on Pinterest called accordion potatoes. Any of you people on Pinterest?
It looked like
TikTok?
Something you get in Thailand on the street.
It was like you put it on a stick and you have to chop it a certain way. I would give it a solid D-.
I want to say that you had some epic successes in terms of food.
Yeah.
The aforementioned briskets.
Yeah, the brisket.
The mocha cake. And what was the other thing?
Baklava was very
good. Baklava was very good. Then there were a few things that were a good.
Like what?
Like the.
Oh, you look like you want to sweat right now. Go ahead.
No. Like the pineapple chicken was good.
The kids liked it.
Yeah. They did like
Speaking
it.
Speaking of spikes, spike protein, we got those pineapples are very spiky on the outside.
Yeah. Yeah. And is that a metaphor?
I don't know.
You know, because if I had a heavy metal band, I might call it spiky pineapple.
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
Doesn't have
work.
A good ring.
It didn't work. No.
But I would call a raw heavy metal band spike protein.
Yeah, spike protein. Or a guy, one of the guys on the band. No, one guy in the band, his name is Spike Protein. I want to say to you, speaking of spike protein.
Wait, but I wanted to say, you were talking about, so back to the thing that we were chewing over at the table.
Yes.
You're talking about what would Israel's civil war be?
Isn't that nice? So you said.
So I said, I think it would be between believers and non-believers.
Right. Generally speaking, believers.
Kind of like the Maccabee stuff.
Right.
Like who is, Mi Lashem Eli.
Right.
Like whoever is the person who wants to go in like the Torah way, the Hashem way.
Right.
And whatever that's, so I consider that to be a very wide spectrum of people actually. But nonetheless, I thought it was between those and the people who are not interested in Hashem being part of our country.
Right. And I said that I beg to differ just a little bit. And it's obviously, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other, a similar thing. I said the real tension in our beloved country today is between those people who want a Jewish state and those people who believe in a more globalist, Euro-style,
universal,
you know, so-called democracy. By the way, I told my mom, I said to her, what does the words Jewish and democratic really mean? Here's the answer. Jewish and democratic means Jewish and Arab. That's really what it means. When they say Jewish and democratic, what they mean is empower Arabs equally to the Jews.
That's what some people mean. That's not what everyone
means.
That's
what it means when they say it. Okay? It does not mean that all the Jews get to vote on something. It means that they're going to universalize and empower this place and make it into a multicultural blah, 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 blah. And where really people like myself, Jewish nationalists, want to see a Jewish state here. Not because we don't like Arabs. There's nothing to do with it. God bless the Arabs. They have 22 countries, as I always tell them. Allah loves you, right? Allah loves you. But like this happens to be this small parcel, happens to be a Jewish protectorate. And that's exactly, I think that's the fault line. The fault line is, do you want a Jewish protectorate? A Jewish state, a Jewish national state that's meant to help the Jewish people flourish. Not to the detriment, but not to the benefit of others. It's meant to first and foremost protect and promote Jewish welfare in this region. And that's what it's meant to do. Just like the other states are Arab states or Muslim states.
Do you think it'll be a more ethnic? You think it would, not will. You think
No.
It would theoretically be a more ethnic fight than a religious fight?
No.
Because you just said...
No.
Between...
No, 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 no. It's between Jews who are globalists, universalists, Hellenists, That the type of way of thinking.
But you're saying kind of that people who want it to be a Jewish ethnic state,
a Jewish national state, Jewish national state. Because I want to tell you, I've amended my thinking a little bit after a conversation with one of my mentors, which is Yoram Chazoni.
Okay, tell.
A nation, the dominant ethnic group here is the Jewish people. That's
right.
Certainly.
So far.
But nationally speaking, if you've got Druze, let's say, who are with you, they become part of your nation. They become part of your nation. So when I
you
say...
think so?
Yes. When I say a Jewish national
state... You think they're part of our nation? What is nation?
Oh, what is nation? It's a tricky thing. But it does not mean part of, like, your ethnic...
The Jewish
religious
tribe.
Group. Right. It's not exactly tribe. But it's allies of, right, within your state. Your state is an ethnic national state meant to be a place for your peoplehood.
Yeah.
But there are other people who are part of the nation. Other Israelis.
Okay. Isn't that Jewish and democratic?
No. Because when they say Jewish and democratic, what they mean is erode the Jewish national character of the state, equalize the Palestinian, Arab, Muslim, and other whatever visions of what it's supposed to be, and undermine the Jewish dominance and the Jewish idea and the Jewish culture and the Jewish thing. They mean that we have two equal narratives. They're both true. Israel's in Israel-Palestine. The flag will be changed. The Hatikva will be changed. Something.
No, but that's not what Jewish and democratic means. That right.
No,
is just
that's
a one-unified state.
That's what I'm saying.
As soon as you change the flag, change Hatikva, change all this stuff, it's not, you know, it's moving away from Jewish.
Correct. But that's what I'm saying that they actually mean. It's not, the words are not defined like that, but that's what's happening. They want to undermine the Jewish aspect of it and to minimize it, and in the meantime raise up this other narrative and this other thing, and in many ways they're succeeding. And then there was a poster at the entrance of Jerusalem. There were like Jews and Arabs, this big giant poster, and it said our futures are intertwined together, something like that. But it wasn't that like these other folks are going to be part of the, you know, Israeli vision and understand that they're part of a Jewish state. No. It's like, no. It's we're accepting of the fact that it's no longer, it's a watering down of our identity. That's the bottom line. It's a watering down of our identity. There are people that don't need to water down. Many times I've met with Palestinians who say to me, Yishai, I want to serve in your army. I want my son to serve in your army. And I want him to be a police officer in your state. And we don't need your citizenship because I understand that what we need is your residency. Because these people understand that we need a Jewish national state here. They want to be part of it as ger toshav, as a resident alien, and not to take over the whole thing. A Druze who loves Israel, understands that it's a Jewish state, understands that he's a minority, wants to stay.
Well, you know, I, in theory, I can agree with you. And yet I remember that when Israel was passing the nation state law, and really identifying Israel as a Jewish state, like in pretty basic terms also, not in any kind of supremacist way, just saying Israel's a Jewish state and, you know, here's our flag and it's a Jewish star and we got a menorah and like the stuff, like pretty basic stuff that like every first grade Jewish kid in American Jewish day school knows to be true.
Right.
Then the Druze were very upset.
No, not all the Druze, some of the Druze, and those that were upset, to me, are the type of people that are like, maybe you're not part of my nation.
So, but you know, I don't know if you did a poll or whatever. I don't know if these are a minority or majority, but like in this generation could be like this and next generation could be like that.
Correct. Problem. That's I agree with you. That's why I think.
You know, you could say these Arabs who come to you and say, we just want residency, their grandchildren may not feel that way.
That is why I totally agree with you, and I think it's a great question. And that's why I actually believe that Gentiles, non-Jews, that live in this country and gain citizenship in the country should not be able to pass that on automatically to the next generation. Every next generation of Gentile, Arabs, Druze, etc., should have to swear allegiance, prove their loyalty, and apply for citizenship. And they may have, a better standing because they come from a family that brings them up right, and likely that they'll get it. Also, I wonder what citizenship for non-Jews is in general. I wonder. Maybe citizenship is like, to me, like Puerto Rican citizenship, where you're like, you're a citizen of the United States, but the people that you don't vote for the president and the people that you vote for Congress are non-voting members. So you have a Bill of Rights. You are definitely a citizen. You could fly in an American passport, but there's certain limitations on how you effectuate the outcome of the country. So there's limitations because, again, it's a Jewish state, and we're not really interested in giving you a chance to undermine it. And we see that actively all the time in the Knesset members, in most of the Arab Knesset members, not all, but most of them, who are really antithetical to Israel, who are Palestinian in their identification, meaning to say they think that the occupation began in 1948, which is my giveaway for you actually don't believe in Israel. That's how I test them on Twitter. They're like, I'm just as Israeli as you are. I'm like, when did the occupation start? Do you believe it started in 1948? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, so you don't believe in a Jewish state. You just have its citizenship. We went down the rabbit hole a little bit there, yeah. Right? Yeah, I wasn't expecting to go down there all the way. I wanted to pull back out, Malka, and tell you that a good friend of mine passed away last week, not from COVID, but from frailty and other things. And he was a great, great artist. His name was Baruch Nachshon. And just this morning, I opened up a random Chabad book of pictures. And there he was at 770 in the 80s. And he was an amazing artist. And we're featuring one of his great paintings right here in our Sukkah today. Actually, we have more than one. And I just want to honor the the great work of Baruch Nachshon.
Well, this is being here in the sukkah is a really good time to do that, Yishai, because we bring in the ushpizin.
That's right.
We bring in the great souls.
I wanted to do that with you, Maka. I wanted to actually do this thing where we do like today's the day of Yitzchak, right?
Right. Yesterday Yitzchak was Avram.
I wanted to do this thing that we like bring in some of our friends that passed away.
That's nice, friends, family.
But I don't want it to be weird, you know. Like I don't want to go seance here, right?
Right. Well, yeah. You
just want to bring in like
something nice.
Our friend Leah Goldman. You know, my friend Adi Stanley, who I always remember. My friend.
My mother,
your
father.
Mother, that's right. Grandparents.
Come on in.
Yeah, come
on
down.
Come on in, everybody. You come on in.
My friend Gil, you know, just bring him down into the sukkah to join us here. You know, and there's something magical about a sukkah. It's otherworldly. And it has this power of kind of, you know, at the end of Star Wars, the original trilogy, like you see like all the folks who passed away. And
sorry,
they kind of have,
I
they kind of have
cannot
a glow.
Speak to that.
Okay, well. I'm not bringing in Obi-Wan Kenobi in here, but I am saying that it would be nice to see all of our friends.
Right, it's a good place to remember people.
Yeah.
Because they're partying. They get to party, too.
Yeah.
For Sukkot.
That's right. And it was well done in Star Wars because you just see them kind of glowing and
speaking
happy.
Of partying on Sukkot, I want to say that with all the corona stuff, and we talked about it, and it's like we can't even get through a single show pretty much without talking about
it. What's the big issue of our time, dude?
It is a big issue. I just wanted to say that this Sukkot so far, and we're just barely into it, has been one of the nicest Sukkots in a long time. And not because it has been so incredibly eventful, but because it's just nice. You know, we had guests. We had guests at both of the meals on Chag. And with God's help, we're going to be guests today. And we're going to go to Be'ezrat Hashem, to Yerushalayim, and to Hebron tomorrow. And we don't have any like great big plans, but it just feels a lot more like we're like getting together and we're doing stuff,
right?
And we're, you know, living more than in the past few years. And so I know that there's still a bunch of uncertainty and we're all, you know, just trying to keep it together and be healthy. And, you know, your sister's son just went into B-Dude for the third time.
Quarantine.
He's three. He just went into quarantine for the third time in like 2 weeks or some kind of, no, since Rosh Hashanah. Since Rosh Hashanah, he's been in Bidud three times. I mean, it's so wild.
Right.
At the same time, I think a lot of people are just like getting out a little bit more and seeing people a little bit more. And these are all things that evidently we really have to not take for granted.
That's right. And I think, Maka, in part, it's also because I think, first thing, I have to laud our current government, which is not my favorite government, but I have to say they have not done closures so far, and that's been great. The other thing is I think people are more used to the concept of living with this thing.
Right.
And so you're not freaked
not
out as much
as
anymore.
Quite as terrified.
Yeah, no, it's just you're not as freaked out. And the question of if the vaccines are working or not, I will leave for all of you and your groups.
I mean, they seem to be
there.
Working to some measure, right? Like, are they a panacea which has saved everybody from everything? Absolutely just, not. But, yeah. Like, have they probably saved a whole lot of lives? I think so.
Yeah, but there's also a weird coincidence, which is that Israel, being one of the number one percentage of
vaccinated
people, countries,
also has plenty of people with coronavirus.
So it's a little
who
bit
are
strange.
Also have been vaccinated.
Right, it's a little strange.
Including, I heard a story recently of a couple who was in bed for 4 days after getting their third vaccine.
Yeah.
They got coronavirus after their third vaccine.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
The website for Baruch Nachshon's art is nachshonart.com. I want everybody to check it out. Nachshonart.com. Very beautiful. And I love his art, and I miss him very dearly. He was a good friend. And one of the founders of the modern reborn Jewish community of Hebron, a Chabadnik, and also a super courageous man. And, of course, he would not be anywhere without his amazing wife, Sarah. Shetibodel l'chayim arukim. May she have a continued long life. So check out nachshonart.com. Speaking of vaccination, no, speaking of quarantine.
Yes.
There is a group of people in the American Congress who would love to quarantine, and that is isolate Israel.
Yes. Boo.
They're known as the Jihad Squad, okay? And the Jihad Squad, Kasia Cortez, that's AOC, and
Tlaib,
Rashida Tlaib, and
Ilhan
Omar. First thing I want to say, hats off to you gals. They are awesome.
They are totally a squad.
They are a squad, and they have it going on in the bad guy sense.
Right.
Like, you know, in the movies,
it's a lot easier to have it going on in the bad guy sense.
Still though, you know, when you have a villain who's like got it
going on, you're like,
oh yeah, that
super
villain,
bad powers.
Yeah, and it's like these like three ladies, and they've got some kind of like mechanism.
Well, there's Presley. What's her name? Also, does she get to be in the squad? Is she like a guest star?
Don't know. Yes, sometimes she appears in one of the episodes. But more importantly, is that these guys are powerful in their efficacy and especially in their reach of young people and their social media prowess. Really, they're impressive. They're impressive in some ways to me. Of course, I detest and loathe them and think that they are, you know, the danger to the future of humanity. Still,
still impressive.
I still, you know what I mean. It's like, do you know what I found? That the Hugo Boss was the designer for the SS uniforms for the Nazis.
Yep.
And I was like, but those are nice uniforms.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, they had a designer.
Yeah, they had a serious designer.
It wasn't like they just had a bunch of factory workers make their...
You know, in Porsche, he was the designer for the Nazi tanks.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
Luckily, I don't have a Porsche.
That's right. And luckily, mine just is in the shop right now.
Yes.
Anyway. Clutch is sticking again. Anyway, what I was going to say to you, these guys now are on the move, and yet they've made a decisive error.
No.
They have caused...
The squad you're talking about.
The squad.
Not Hugo Boss.
No. No. He's just fine. Except I never buy his stuff.
Don't buy it.
I don't.
BDS.
I don't know about BDS, but I'm just like, nah, I don't think I'm going to go into that store and get myself a shirt. You design shirts for the SS.
We had a package of napkins that I used for the Chag just now, and I flipped it over after the Chag, the what was left of the plastic, and I just happened to glimpse that it was made in Germany.
Yeah?
And I was like, fail! Because I don't even buy napkins from Germany.
But maybe it's that one family that's like... We take full responsibility.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
And like
they did make our table look cute.
I have met Germans like that, that are like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe what my country did. I like, can I help Israel in any way?
That's true. I met a lady one time,
and yet
in the Kupat Cholim, who was sitting with an elderly lady,
right?
And she's like, I'm a volunteer. I work with Holocaust survivors, and I moved to Israel to help take care of old Holocaust survivors and just like be with them and take them to doctor's appointments and stuff like that to like make up for what we did.
Right. They're amazing people like that.
It's true.
And yet.
Yes.
Those guys, they just, allocated 100 million euros to the PA for projects in Jerusalem and Gaza.
What?
Yes. Oh, they just did that.
Why?
Because why, you know, why, you know, like, the Holocaust didn't fully work out, so... And it's not going to be cool for us to do that anymore because, you know, but let's export it. And the other guys are already doing it. So let's, somebody told me many years ago, let's export the Holocaust. I'm sorry. The Germany should be ashamed of itself. It should be ashamed of itself. That's the problem. They got no shame.
Right. We said this on the show before.
I was reading an amazing piece of literature right now by Yoram Chazoni.
Yeah.
He explained something that I already knew and I wrote about, but he wrote about it just a little bit better. And he said, for us, the antidote to Auschwitz is Israel. Because Auschwitz meant a disempowered Jew who wasn't able to fight back. And Israel came along where we could fight back. And so therefore, Auschwitz, we stop it via Israel. He goes, but for Europe, Auschwitz was a, the way they understand it is that it was a natural outgrowth of hyper-nationalism and German nationalism. And the only way to stop that is to have a European Union and a
oh, like destroy nations.
Right. Nationalism bad. Israel, hyper-nationalist continuation of Auschwitz.
That is sick.
Right. So to us, Israel, the antidote to Auschwitz. For them, Israel,
continuation of Auschwitz. You know, in my opinion, Germany should not be asked their opinion about anything to do with Israel. We've talked about this a bunch of times on the show, but I think Germany should just say for the next 100 years, we have no opinion about Israel. It's like a time capsule. We go, listen, we almost eradicated all these people who live over here. And a lot of them ended up over here because of our eradication plan. So how about this? We're not going to say anything this way or that way, even
right.
pro. We're not involving ourselves. We're right. letting these people like yeah. regerminate themselves in the ground for 100 years.
We'll help Africa.
And in 100 years, we will reconsider what we think about Jews, about Israel, about Palestine, about Gaza. But for 100 years, like we're out of this. Like
right.
we have a lot of introspection to do. We have to clean up our society and what the heck happened to our enlightened civilization and how it went totally wrong and how the nations of the world were merciful by not annihilating us after what we just did to all these people. So we are going to just be quiet.
Right. Wait, now back to the modern iteration of those of that SS uniform, and that is the Jihad Squad, right? And so these guys, they've made a fatal error. And their error was that they just canceled Israel the money that was going
right.
to that Congress was going to allocate to reloading Israel with
Iron Dome
missiles.
Systems.
Not the systems, but actual missiles.
Oh, the shooty guys.
The guys, yeah.
The guys that go
bullets.
In the machine.
Yeah, the rockets.
The rocket bullet things.
Right. And they just blocked
sales of it.
Sales of no, not the sale. Yeah, the other sales. Yeah,
sales of it to Israel. Well,
I think it was
like
the funding
allocation
of it. Yeah, the allocation
of
the funding
it
of it
to Israel.
So why is that a fatal error? So I've been writing on Twitter like a madman the past day about it. And this guy writes to me. He's like all the other Zionists on Twitter are like practically begging America to sell these rockets to Israel. And I'm writing, this is like the best thing that ever happened. Because now Israel's going to actually have to deal without this vaccine, shall we say, of the rockets that shoot down other rockets. We're going to have to go in and clean up the mess of a Hamas-controlled Gaza.
Right. And people should know, by the way, that we have lived in Israel since the beginning kind of the usage of the Iron Dome system. And before the usage of Iron Dome, when rockets would be shot at Israel, that was deeply scary.
Right.
Because you can really die. Now, with the Iron Dome missile defense system, it catches, like 95% of these rockets.
How much is that like the vaccine? It feels like
Right. It catches like 95% of these spike proteins, if you will, these
right.
very spiky things, okay? And so you're scared and you're sitting in your bunker and nobody wants it. And sometimes people, honest to goodness, do get hurt. But overall, people are mostly saved by these Iron Dome, like miraculous things.
Right.
Which is a huge blessing, okay? But there's a downside to the blessing, which is that when you feel like you're not really being threatened, So you're calmer.
Right.
Right? You're calmer. You're less scared.
And you allow something to fester.
And you don't you don't have to go after the people who are shooting these rockets really, 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 because you know that the rockets are maybe going to do some damage and here and there, and maybe a few people will die, but overall, everything's going to be fine. If you take away the Iron Dome, suddenly you go way back to the Iraq War times when rockets were being shot at Israel and people were just praying in their bunkers.
Right.
And then Israel, which has a great military might, will now have to go, okay, what do we have at our disposal?
Right.
We don't have Iron Dome defense systems, but we do have a whole ton of F-16s. So what we can do is we can go now shoot these people, make sure that they don't shoot rockets at us. And this is the way that we're going to protect the people of Israel.
Right.
Because really, the Iron Dome system is meant to protect the people of Israel.
Gotcha. Now, Ambassador Dennis Ross, who's a real pro two-state guy and wants Israel to be weak all the time and all that. So he says, yeah, this was a big mistake. Now that you won't sell Israel the Iron Dome, they're going to have put ground troops in. And there's going to be a lot more people dead on both sides and all that kind of stuff,
right,
trying to scare us. But I was like, you see, even Dennis Ross agrees.
Right.
Now that we don't have
have to be more offensive.
Right. We're going to have to actually deal with things.
As a person who is raising boys here in the land of Israel, I can very much appreciate how much we do not want to endanger any of our beautiful boys and girls. On the other hand, being in a situation and living in a nation where one of the values is to just sit back and wait until they're done with their day of rage of shooting rockets at us is not healthy.
Right. Well said. Now that is 100% true. And this is exactly the mistake that Barack Obama fell into, is that he actually strengthened Israel when he forced Israel to become more independent. And for me, I'm just like, great, let's have our people produce these rockets. Great, let's cut away some of the huge amount of our budget. 60% of our military budget goes to pay exorbitant retirement. What's it called?
Pension funds.
Pensions to
military personnel.
Right, who served
retired military.
Right, we have way been bloated. So you're gonna have to cut that and pay good. And pay for our own missiles. Good. Let our people develop missiles. Good. Let our people fight the real fight. Good. It's just win, win, win. So thank you, Ilhan.
Right. It's always been a difficult balancing act for the wonderful Jewish people.
And people are like...
Between advancing through partnership with the world and
going at it
decaying
alone.
Through partnership
That's
of the
right.
world. And we always have to learn how to balance our independence
right.
and our unique identity with our desire to be a part and parcel of this whole world.
If somebody can cut out our supply of very needed rockets, that ain't good. Even if it's a good friend, the United
right.
States of America.
Reliance on another for your existential well-being is just not going to fly.
It's just, I can't, you know what I mean? Nothing could be better than this to me. It's just a good thing.
Well, we'll see. Apparently there's some other bill that might come up that where they might provide the Iron Dome.
I hope not. I really don't hope not. And I'm not against U.S.-Israel partnership in any way. I'm not.
And certainly no one wants the endangerment of the Jewish people on the land of Israel.
No. But at the same time, independence and strength is very important. Speaking of that, Malka, today our son Elazar went and got the mail, because here in Israel you have to get the mail. It doesn't come to your house immediately. And there was a commemorative pin. No, a commemorative is not there. An army. There it is. What do you want to call that?
It's called Ot HaMa'aracha Beretzuat HaBitachon BeLevanon. A recognition.
Right.
He got a bar.
I got a bar. I got one of those. No, not a bar.
Yeah, isn't this called a bar? When old army generals or old Russian Jews.
I think these are bars. These are medals. And these are maybe.
They have those things on their chest with a million great.
Yeah, weird colors and all that.
And metal stuff.
Right, so
it's jingly.
I finally got
so
one.
So you
myself.
Got a metal. You got a. It's not jingly. It's not
it's
hanging
not a,
down.
It's not a metal. It's not a metal. It's a. It's a. It's a proof that you were part of a war, that you fought in a battle, and this was the Second Lebanon War. So I got that in the mail today.
I wonder why they are doing this only now.
I don't know.
This was a long time ago.
Yeah, but we got it now. Other people got it, and I was like, my friend just got it, and I was like, I want one also. Where's mine? And it came in. And I remember my friend Tom Kareen, who lost his life in 1996 to a Hezbollah attack. And I remember Yoav, who was a short guy, who was he was a short blonde kid. And he was our number one soldier. He got the he was the Chayal Mofet. He was the Mitzdayen. He was the exemplary soldier of our yeah unit. There's a bigger word than unit. All these words are hard to
troop.
No, it's one bigger than troop.
Brigade.
No, it's one smaller than.
Oh,
brigade.
I don't know the words.
Yeah.
Aren't you the one who watches military things on TV?
Yeah, platoon. Maybe unit. Anyway, I'm sure Jake will tell me. In any case. 100 guys.
Okay.
Okay, 3 platoons. Not a brigade. A brigade is much bigger. In any case, he was a great soldier, and he lost his leg and his eye.
Wow.
And he went on to be a very successful person anyway in life. But we saw a lot of stuff happen down there, up there in Lebanon. And it was good to get this pin, this badge, and to remember that battle. I was happy that they also recognized the South Lebanese Army, who were our partners in this battle. It was nice that they wrote about that as well when they gave this pin. And, you know, I'm sure sad that Israel has shrunken and has become less big than it was when I was a kid.
What do you mean?
Israel used to control the Sinai, which I think we should have always held on to. South Lebanon, which we, you know, went into occupied in 1982. Parts of Judea and Samaria that today are under the PA control. We used to be bigger, and it hurts me to have a retrograde motion in terms of the size of Israel and therefore the land strength of Israel. But at the same time, I do remember that those battles for Israel's security in the north. It saddens me that in the north today there are still about 200,000 Hezbollah rockets trained at us.
Well, Yishai, you know, we are broadcasting from our sukkah.
Yep.
And, you know, we could talk about realpolitik all day long.
Yeah, but that is not the commandment
of the
day.
But in the end of the day,
right,
Hashem decides. Mm-hmm. And we sit in Hashem's...
Supernal light?
Yeah, supernal light. And we sit in Hashem's world.
Right.
In the little box that Hashem put us in.
Right.
And we are at his mercy,
right.
And we pray that he gives us a little wink and likes us and, you know, winks at us through the schach, and we
That's
can
right.
wink back at him.
That's right.
And there's just lots of great stuff, Isha, you know, in the end of the day, all the things and what's good and what's bad and what shrunk and what grew. But the Jewish people are living on the land of Israel. We are doing fine. We are having businesses. We are raising children. We are buying milk. We are making brisket. And baklava.
That's right.
And we are Baruch Hashem, mostly doing fine. It's really going to be awesome. And we have a lot to look forward to. And
That's
Hashem
right.
is a great storyteller who chose to communicate with us through a big story.
That's right.
That he wrote for us called the Torah. And his guys wrote some more of the story called the Tanakh. And as a great storyteller, I am sure that even if it's a cliffhanger, that it's going to be a happy ending.
Right.
And lots of good stuff. And he has promised us. And we are excited to see what unfolds next.
Nachon. And it's all about our children, Mama. It's about passing it on. And I have with us here our beloved son, Elazar Menachem.
Oh, Elazar on the show.
Welcome to the program.
Hi.
So nice to have you here.
It is.
Yes.
It is pretty nice.
It is pretty nice. And you're pretty awesome. And it's... You're having a nice Sukkot. You helped build the Sukkah. You helped do a lot of stuff. You've been photographing birds today for a competition. Are you enjoying your Sukkot?
Yeah, it's really fun.
That's really good. And we have in our Sukkah a lot of wind today, so I had to strengthen it so the schach doesn't fly away. As they say in Hebrew, sheyof lecha schach, leif lecha teschach, temakir tapit gamazay. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
It means it's something really cool. You like the Ofel Chaschach, your schach.
It's going to fly.
It's going to
blow your hair off.
Your socks off.
That's right. But it sucks.
Blow your schachs off.
Skoksoff.
That's right. Now listen, Elazar, in the sukkah, we also remember not only our own sukkah that wants to blow away sometimes, but we also remember the sukkah David Hanufalet, the fallen sukkah of David, which we want to rebuild. So I thought me and you could sing a little song.
I think in that sukkah they also should have strengthened the schach.
That's right. They got to strengthen the schach. So let's sing together. Here we go. Ha rachaman hu yakim lanu et sukkah David Hanufalet. Ha rachaman hu yakim lanu et sukkah David Hanufalet. Ha rachaman hu yakim lanu et sukkah David Hanufalet. Ha rachaman hu yakim lanu et sukkah David Hanufalet. Didi la 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 la. Didi la 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 la. Didi la 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 la.
Elazar
Menachem.
Yay, bravo. Yeah. This has been your Simchat Beit HaShoeva, courtesy of Elazar.
Yeah.
Mordim l'simcha.
Yeah.
Chakim is my name.
L'shoson.
Amen. All right, very good. Elazar Menachem, thank you so much for joining us. Malka, it is really, really fun to be with you here at this beautiful sukkah. I want to thank the sponsors of our show, including the Jewish community of Hebron and the Hebron Fund. And I want people to fund the Hebron Fund. Check out hebronfund.org. And strengthen the forefathers and mothers. Everybody knows.
We hope to be going there tomorrow for a nice Jewish party.
And let me give you a proof that we're supposed to go there tomorrow. It's very simple.
A proof?
Yeah. You know you're supposed to go to Yerushalayim. That's simple.
Okay.
Because it's a regular.
Yeah.
It's
one of the three times that you are supposed to go to Yerushalayim.
It's a pilgrimage holiday.
Yes.
So that everybody knows. But Chazal, our sages tell us, Chayav Adam Lagbil Rabo Baregel. A person has got to go see his rabbi. In this holiday, what's that? That's of course our founders, the forefathers and mothers. Who is our rabbis? But the founders, but Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Becca, and Leah. You know, so we got to go see them in Hebron. So that's the Hebron community, Jewish community, HebronFund.org. I also want to thank the Jewish Press, JewishPress.com. Big fan of their newsletter. Really, it's so worth it to sign up. You'll really get a sense of what's going on in the Jewish world. JewishPress.com with great editor. Stephen Levitt doing a great job there. Sign up and check out our show there always, jewishpress.com. And also I want to mention, of course, our fabulous support for this show that comes through Prohibition Pickle, okay? Making the sukkah time, sukkah hopping, so much fun. Oh, I forgot to ask Elzer about sukkah hopping. But you can get salami. You could get pickles. You could get hot sauce. I used the hot sauce just yesterday.
We had some salami during our holiday, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You made me a great salami sandwich. And also, on your brisket, I used some of the hot sauce.
Yeah.
That's Prohibition Pickle.
Brisket.
So that was great brisket, Malka.
Yeah, thanks.
Great job. And so that's Prohibition Pickle. Check them out on Facebook and on Instagram. All right? So check that out. Elazar, come back here for just one second. You also went sukkah hopping. Is that correct? Tell me what sukkah hopping means.
Hopping from one sukkah to the other sukkah.
But what's that about, though?
You go to sukkahs and give them drashot and or ask a question. Or this time, a lot of people said that they were asking them jokes related to sukkahs. And then they give you candies in reward. Mm-hmm.
So kids go from sukkah to sukkah, answering little Torah questions or saying like a nice Torah thought or telling a sukkah joke. And then they give you a treat.
Yep.
And you're holding
you
right
came
now,
back with quite a load of candies.
You're holding
may I say.
A box of Michael and Ichilov, also known as Mike and Ike, right?
I think Ike is Isaac, right?
Is Ike
so
Michael
and Yitzchak.
Oh, it's not Ichilov?
Ichilov is a hospital.
It just sounds like Ike.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But you got a box of Mike and Ike there. That's pretty good. That's a score.
Ah, the sound of Mike and Ike, the sound of mitzvot. The sound of commandments. Okay, and your sister is here. Leah, I've been wanting for you to come
sound
in.
The sound of joy.
The sound of joy. So happy Sukkot to you and enjoy your Michael and Echelov. Leah Batzion Fleischer, you are for joining us. Everybody wants to hear from you to say Chag Samech. How's your Chag been going so far?
It's been amazing. It's been really nice and great weather.
That's true. Great weather.
You worked very hard, except for the radical winds. You've been working. You worked very hard to also establish this Sukkah days before the Chag. What did that include?
I wasn't part of lifting all the stuff, all the different parts from downstairs, from our machsan, from our storage area. But that includes storage, that includes making sure that all the pieces are okay and whatever is a little broken to fix it. That includes building the sukkah, putting the schach, zip tying everything down. A lot of different things.
Yes, we like it when the children grow up so that they can do the work.
Oh, and then decorations. You have a very fabulous decoration here.
Yes, we would like to thank Pinterest and YouTube for their participation in sukkah making this year.
That's right. And also this year, an innovation in the Fleischer sukkah, and that is that we built a second sukkah, a sun sukkah.
Yes.
This is we're right now in the closed one, and then there's one that has only schach, and the walls are kind of the walls
of the
balcony.
Of our balcony.
Right, and so it's
open, but a kosher sukkah.
It's totally kosher, and it's au naturel. There is no decorations, no nothing, just a beautiful view of the Judean mountains. Okay, and what else, Leah? Anything else that you want to tell us about this chag? Anything that's moving for you? Any Dvar Torah that you said to people? What about Dvar Torah that you talked about? Simcha?
I went sukkah hopping this year for the first time. And so usually they ask you to say a Dvar Torah. So I was thinking, what can I say? So I was just like, the main thing that we say before sukkah is V'samachta b'chagecha v'ayita ach samach. So ach means rak, only happy. And I was wondering, why are we only happy on sukkah? Like, why do we have to be only happy on sukkah? Like, Pesach, we went out of Egypt. We left. We're our own people. But it doesn't say that we need to be happy. And then I was thinking, maybe it's to repent over the over the years that we were in the desert complaining, wanting, needing. And we read about it in the Parshat Shavuot about how we always ask for things. We were always upset. We always wanted, and we were never happy with what we had. But now that we're kicked out of our homes, we have to sleep sometimes in the rain, in the cold, and we have to be outside. So now that happened, we have to stay happy, and we have to show that we're repenting for those years that we did exactly the opposite.
All right, I like that
very,
very
nice.
Much.
Bravo.
Very good. Okay, Elzer, give her a great mic and Ike. Michael Vichelov. Here you go. All right. Malka Fleischer, a wonderful, wonderful Sukkot to you. I want to bless all of our friends, followers, and listeners. I want to thank Yocheved Seidman, Moshe Herman, Ben Bresky.
Yocheved, happy birthday.
God bless you,
by the way. Happy birthday to Yocheved. We love you so much.
And she sent
me. You are so important to us.
She sent me a picture that I wanted her to send me, which is of her years being in the Peace Corps in Africa and driving a dirt bike throughout Africa. And she sent me that photo. Of her
back
on
in the day, it's pre-Chabad.
Pre-Chabad, that's right. And I want to. I there's so many people that I would love to say hi to personally, but all of you guys out there, so much love in all the countries that you're in. I know that you're in all kinds of places, from Sweden to Switzerland, from Australia to Angola.
I don't know if we have anyone in Angola.
No, you never know, Malka.
Not yet.
You never know. If you're from Angola, please write me an email, yeshai@yeshaifleischer.com. But in any case,
I want to thank all the donors, people who gave before Rosh Hashanah, who gave before Yom Kippur.
Yes.
You mean a lot to us, and you make this show possible, and you make a lot of the work that we're doing possible. And we want to thank you and bless you with a happy, healthy, successful new year, with just sitting under the
canopy
in the shade of Hashem's
supernal.
Sitting in the shade of Hashem's supernal light.
I love that
and
word.
And I don't know if you could sit in the shade of light, but that's an oxymoron, it seems. But that you should be blessed and protected.
I like that, though. That's a good name for the show, Sitting in the Shade of Light.
Nice.
Light of shade? No. Shade of light. Yeah, that's good. I like that. Supernal.
Supernal.
That's right, supernal.
Hashem should be with you.
Amen. That's right. And everybody should pray, when will the Shekhinah, will God's presence rest with me and be in my home? It says in the Talmud, it says, if you come to my home, I will come to your home. And if you come to Hashem's home, you want to serve Hashem, you want to call out to Him, you come towards Him, you support the building of Eretz Yisrael and Jerusalem and Hebron, and you support God's home, He will support your home.
And when you're sitting in the Sukkah, that's also Hashem's home. It may not be the Beit HaMikdash, but this is the house that Hashem demanded that you build.
That's right.
He commanded you to build.
Right.
And when you're sitting in Hashem's house, no matter what happens, you can only be happy.
That's
because
right.
Because everything Hashem does is for the best.
Amen. Amen.
And so sitting in Hashem's house means having total faith that whatever it is that you face, and God willing, it should be only nice things and sweet things. But whatever it is that we face, we can only be happy. We have to be happy, because if Hashem decided it, then that's good.
Amen. I want to wish everybody a Chag Sameach. Please write me an email Yisha@YishaiFleisher.com. Thank you to the Land of Israel Network for hosting, to Ari and Jeremy for making this network happen. Thank you to all the other show hosts on the network. God bless you guys wherever you are. Don't stay strangers out there. Stay connected. Stay part of the story. Tune in to our show, and also tune in to God's Message, which is broadcasting 24/7 from Zion. Ki mitzion tetzeh Torah u'dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. God's voice is being heralded here in Zion, and it is bringing a time of redemption and awesomeness, and we're a part of it, and we're overcoming over all kinds of stuff, and we're going to be strong, because when the going gets tough, you know where we are, okay? And I know where you are. We are part of an amazing team of something that's amazing happening in our time. We are part of a redemptive process, and we're not going to give up, and we're not going to fall down. We're not going to get confused. We have something awesome that's awaiting for us. There's some bumps on the roads, but that's awesome as well. That makes it all the more, you know,
sweet
in the end.
We'll get there.
Amen. All right, folks, more great stuff is on the way. Stay tuned, stay strong, stay connected, stay loving, and stay blessed from the Land of Blessings. And shalom.
Chag Sameach.
My name is Jeremy Gimpel, and I live here in the mountains of Judea. And in these unprecedented times, I wanted to offer you a gift from the Land of Israel. We've been here at the cutting edge of the Jewish return to the Land of Israel. We've come to the place where King David first assembled his men and where he wrote most of the Book of Psalms. We are quite literally transforming this desert mountain area into a Garden of Eden-like oasis. Watching prophecy manifest into reality, we felt called to reach out to the nations, to teach them lessons from the Bible in the original Hebrew, unlocking insights and understandings that you can only get if you read the text in its original language and from a Judean perspective. I hope to see you at the Land of Israel Fellowship. Shalom.